Different types of listings. The two commonly used types of listings are an open listing and an exclusive right of sale. An open listing is typically unwritten. With an open listing, the owner agrees to pay the broker only if she produces a sale, while the owner reserves the right to sell it herself without paying a commission. If another agent sells it, only that agent is entitled to a commission. An exclusive listing guarantees the agent a commission if the property sells during the term of the listing, regardless of who sells it. Exclusive listings are required by multiple listing systems, MLS, and many of the big brokers. Many exclusive listings can obligate a seller to pay a commission to the agent if anyone they showed the house to, or even told about it, buys the house within a specified period after the listing expires. Read these listings carefully before you sign one or make an offer on a house bound by one. A seller can exclude specific buyers, even from an exclusive listing. If you are interested in a house that a seller is going to list with an agent, have the seller exclude you from that listing. Then, if you buy, there will be no obligation to pay a commission. Another type of listing, the exclusive agency listing, allows the owner to avoid paying a commission if he sells it himself, but protects one agent in the event another agent sells it. It is not used as commonly because MLS generally will not accept properties listed this way. If you ever list a property, use an exclusive listing to get the benefit of MLS exposure. You want every hotshot selling agent in town showing your house. Agree to pay the highest commission common in your area. The difference between 6 and 7% is not as important as selling the house quickly. Insist on a short-term agreement. A 90-day listing is as long as I would suggest. Read the fine print carefully and remember to exclude any buyers with whom you are now negotiating. Be wary of accepting offers that are subject to the buyers obtaining financing or selling another house before they close on yours. These offers take your house off the market without compensation to you. If you do want to accept an offer subject to one of these contingencies, use one of these strategies. 1. State that in the event that you receive another offer acceptable to you, the buyers will have the right to waive their contingency and close within 30 days or void the contract. 2. Ask for a non-refundable deposit of $1,000 that the buyers forfeit if they fail to close. This money will compensate you for taking the property off the market for a month. If the buyers need longer than 30 days, ask for more deposit money. Agents can be good customers. Not all agents are rolling in dough. In fact, only the top producers make any serious money. Most are average consumers struggling to pay their mortgage and car payments. I have both sold houses to and bought houses from such agents. Many agents have trouble qualifying for a loan because their income is from commissions and is not predictable. In addition, some have credit problems. They are good candidates for a lease option or owner financing sale. Recently, I sold two houses that needed quite a bit of work to agents on lease options. They can fix them up and then refinance them and pay me off. I bought many homes from agents. One agent has sold me his personal residence twice. When times are good, he buys a nice home, but he never gets emotionally attached to it. When cash gets tight, he knows that I will buy it and gives me a call. He knows that when he can't borrow, he can sell. As you develop trust with agents, they become repeat customers. They will bring you sellers or buyers and sometimes just refer business to you. An agent can't make money from a buyer who has little money or credit, but that buyer may make a good tenant for you or even a lease option buyer. Likewise, an agent can't collect commission from a seller who is behind on her payments and has no equity. However, you may know how to buy that house, save the seller's credit, and make a profit. I have had several calls referring these desperate sellers to me by agents. Advice to agents who buy property. If you are an agent, don't buy your own listings. You are the agent for the seller and cannot ethically make a good deal. Cancel any and all listings, whether written or implied, before making an offer. If you buy your own listing and either deduct your commission or receive it at the closing and later resell the property for a profit, you are likely to be sued by the seller. The seller will claim that all you are entitled to is a commission, but you made more. Therefore, the seller is entitled to the overage plus attorney's fees and costs. Don't pay taxes on your own money. When you make a down payment and then collect a commission at the closing, you are just getting part of your down payment back. Unfortunately, any commission you receive is taxable income to you. Likewise, if you trade services for a down payment, the services you trade can be classified as taxable income. If you forego a commission and take equity in the property, you have still earned that commission and it is still taxable. When buying, do not participate in any commission. Should you have a real estate license? If all you do is buy for your own investment, the license is not necessary or even an advantage. An agent must disclose that he is licensed when making offers. I never found this to be a problem, although others have. A typical disclosure may read, John Smith is a registered real estate broker in the state of Florida and is purchasing this property for his own account with the intention of making a profit. Smith will not participate in any commissions paid in this transaction. Any listing, whether written, oral, or implied, between Smith and the seller is hereby voided. Sellers are advised to seek legal advice. The education available to agents is an advantage, although it is often designed to make you a better agent, not a better investor. If you do not have a license, don't get one unless you want to work as an agent and collect commissions. If you already have a license and it does not have a negative impact on your investing, keep it until it does. Most sellers in a hurry would rather do business with someone in the business, someone who knows how to fill out a contract, someone who does not have to go to a bank and beg for money, someone who will really buy their house. Having a license is not a hindrance when you are buying from someone who really needs to sell. Chapter 14. Buying and selling houses to produce cash flow today. Buying and selling a house for a quick profit is exciting work and can produce short-term cash flow. It is different from investing in a house. It takes more time and has more risk. Buying and selling requires certain skills and takes a serious commitment of time. Many people who attempt this strategy are unsuccessful because they underestimate the amount of skill and time it takes to buy and sell for a profit. Buying and holding a house for long-term profit requires less skill because time is on your side. You can buy a house at a retail price, and if you hold it long enough, you will make a profit. The longer you hold a property in a good location, the more money you will make. As an investor, you will acquire the skills you need as you research your area, talk to hundreds, yes, hundreds, of sellers, and negotiate and close deals. When you have the needed skills, you can buy some houses for investment and others to increase your cash flow today. If you are trying to transition from working for someone else to being a full-time real estate investor, buying and selling a couple of houses a year can give you the cash you will need for down payments and living expenses. If you are already a full-time investor, you are constantly looking for good deals. Sometimes you will find houses that you do not want to buy and rent. Rather than just passing on such a property, buy and sell it for a profit. To qualify as a good long-term investment, a house should be well-designed, well-built, be in a neighborhood that will attract long-term tenants, and appreciate at an above-average rate. Most who buy to resell are less particular about which house and in which neighborhood they buy. Time is your friend as an investor, but not when you are buying and selling. When you are buying and selling houses for short-term profit, time works against you. It may take you several months to find and buy a good deal. After you close on the deal, every day you own it, the holding costs, interest, taxes, insurance, advertising, repairs, reduce your profit. To make a profit, you need to sell before your profits are eaten up by your holding costs. Your annual profit from buying and selling houses depends on several factors. 1. how far below the market you buy each house. 2. How many houses you are able to buy a year. 3. How long it takes you to sell and close. 4. How much you can sell for. Some investors buy multiple houses and wholesale them quickly to other investors, but make only a little on each house. Others buy just a few houses and sell at a retail price to make a larger profit per house. Annual profit equals profit per house times number of houses bought and sold. The key to making a profit is buying a house at a below-market price and then reselling as quickly as possible. You cannot sell a house in a short time at an above-market price. The higher the price, the longer it will take to sell. If you can find a house that you can buy 15 to 20% below the market in 2 months, close the purchase and fix it up in 2 months, and sell and close it in 2 more months, an optimistic timetable, you are on track to buy and sell 2 houses a year. If your goal is to make $60,000 a year, you need to net $30,000 profit per house. This can be a good business if you are a skilled buyer and able to invest time and energy to the work and able to buy below the market consistently. Many who buy to resell are not accomplished negotiators and buyers. They buy marginal deals and try to make a profit by selling at above market prices. You want to be good at buying and selling for more reasons than just making money. The more houses you buy and sell in a year, the more you have to work and the more risks you take. You want to be skillful enough and professional enough in your work to make your efforts worthwhile and insulate you from litigation. Many legal issues arise, and a good number of lawsuits result from buy-sell transactions that go awry. The other party, it could be either the buyer or the seller, feels as if she has been taken advantage of, or a flaw in the property surfaces after the closing. Sometimes these issues can only be resolved with a lawsuit, but a lawsuit can eat up years of profits. 5 steps to making money buying and selling houses. 1. Identify the price range of houses in your town that sells the fastest. You want to buy houses to resell in this price range. A realtor can give you this information. Typically, it is a house you would call a starter house or 1 step above that house. It is often just below the median-priced house in a town. Often, there is a large inventory of these houses, and although there is competition to buy, these houses are easier to sell. A cardinal rule of real estate is that it is easier to buy than to sell. When you are the buyer, you are in control. You can choose how much to offer and decide whether to buy or pass. When you are selling, you can lower your price and offer terms to attract buyers, but you cannot make them buy. You can lead a buyer to a good deal, but you can't make them buy. 2. Identify several neighborhoods that have houses for sale in the price range you want to buy and sell. Look for signs of opportunity, like the opportunities listed in Chapter 4. An empty house, any house that is not well maintained, or a house with a bad tenant all signal opportunity. Walk the streets in the neighborhoods that interest you and look carefully at each house on the street. You will notice houses that you would not see driving the street. Talk to the neighbors, knock on doors, and ask if they know of any houses in the neighborhood for sale. This is the most effective way to find a good deal. Good deals are rarely listed. Most houses that are opportunities are not even for sale. There will be no sign in the yard and no ad in the paper. Many people in trouble simply hope that their problem will solve itself and take no action to solve it. This is why walking through a neighborhood and knocking on doors is such an effective way to find a good deal. 3. Once you find a good deal, research it. Find out what the owner paid and what others have paid for similar houses on the street recently. 4. Now, set a minimum profit goal. A more expensive house that may be harder to resell should command a larger profit. Likewise, a house that needs considerable work and will consume a lot of your time and money needs to produce a larger profit. For a beginning buyer, a profit goal of 10% on the purchase price is a good minimum target. that is net profit after repairs and holding costs. 5. Start keeping a journal. Every time you buy a house, write down in your journal the following points: why you thought that this house would be a good deal, how you came up with your first offer, how the buyer responded to the offer, what the offer was that was accepted, what you would offer if you could start over. Before you make your next offer, review the last offer that you had accepted and try to make this next offer a little better for you. As you become more skilled, increase your profit per house goal. Experienced buyers command 20% or greater profits. If you are willing to work for less than a 10% profit, get a real estate license and collect a commission. You don't have to take the risk, make a down payment, or pay the carrying costs that being in the buy-sell business requires. In the process of getting a license, you will learn the laws that regulate agents in your state. Hopefully, you will learn about contracts, deeds, closing statements, title insurance, and other facets of the real estate business. If you intend to receive a 10% return on your money and consider a return on your time as well, then you need to work on your skills and devote the time required to buy and sell houses for profit. The 10 and 20% figures are just profit targets. Anyone who actually has bought and sold a property will tell you that you don't always make as much as you plan to make. Sometimes you get lucky and make more, but it often takes longer to sell or costs more to make repairs than you planned, and your profit is less than your target. A realtor who worked for less than a commission. A realtor bought a house from me that needed updating. I had owned it for about 10 years and had rented it to the same tenant for that entire time. The house had more than doubled in value, and the realtor made me an offer I did not refuse. She fixed it up and sold it several months later for about a $5,000 gross profit, not counting her holding costs or taxes. She would have made more money listing and selling it without spending the time and investing the money to fix it up and market it. You can make more than $5,000 per house when you buy and sell, but there are no guarantees. Other investors have sold houses to me for less than they paid after trying unsuccessfully to sell for profit. A long-term investor can wait patiently for a strong market, keeping a house rented until the time is right to sell, and harvest a large profit. A short-term flipper does not have that luxury. After you buy a house at a bargain price, you have to sell it for more than you paid for it, plus your holding costs, plus any money you have to invest to improve the house. Short-term profits you make from buying and selling are subject to the higher tax rates applied to ordinary income, not the capital gains rate available on investment property gains. Taxes will become a greater concern once you begin to make a lot of money. Learn to make money first and then learn how to reduce your taxes. If you are broke, you don't need a good tax strategy or asset protection plan. You need assets and income. Once your taxable income from buying and selling exceeds $30,000 a year, talk with a certified public accountant, CPA, who owns real estate himself about options that can reduce your tax liability. Using a corporation or limited liability company, LLC, to buy and sell properties can reduce your tax bill and give you some liability protection. There are both advantages and disadvantages to using an entity to buy and sell, so get good advice before you spend the money to form one. Which houses to buy and which houses not to buy? There are some houses you should not buy at any price. There are houses that are beyond repair at a reasonable cost, unless you are buying it below the lot value, and houses in neighborhoods where there are no owner-occupants and no trend toward more owner-occupants. When a neighborhood is entirely owned by landlords, your only buyers will be other landlords. You might be able to sell to them at a profit, but they will be tough negotiators, and often these pros will want you to finance the property. The ideal house to buy is one in a neighborhood with many owner-occupants who maintain their property. a neighborhood where buyers will want to live and will pay a retail price when they buy. A house that needs only carpet, paint, and minor repairs is safer to buy than one that needs a total rehab. The more work a house needs, the more money you will have to invest, and the longer it will take you to make a profit. The more money you have invested, the more pressure you have to resell quickly. That often leads you to accept a lower offer than you planned. Selling houses that need work in as-is condition. Case study: The House of the Rising Water. I bought a house from a bank that had neglected to maintain it. The bank had allowed a roof to leak for months during the rainy season, and the water in the house was getting deeper by the week. The ceilings had fallen in, the kitchen cabinets had fallen off the walls, and all the drywall was soaked. This house needed work. I put together the following projection of the cost to buy and repair the house and then to sell it. Purchase price, $90,000. Estimated cost of repairs, $50,000. Time to make repairs, 2 months. Time to market and close, 2 months. Estimated holding and marketing costs, $5,000. Total projected investment, $145,000. Estimated selling price, $189,000. Projected profit before taxes, $44,000. Once I had a contract to buy the house from the bank, I put a for sale sign in the yard. I had several calls because many buyers are looking for bargains that need work. There was one family who wanted to buy the house, but did not have enough money or credit to buy it. However, they did have the ability and resources to do the work needed. Never sell a house that needs work to a buyer unless the buyer can convince you that he can do the work needed. I agreed to sell them the house on a 1-year lease option contract in as-is condition with a $1,000 down payment at a price of $120,000. I gave the buyers 3 months reduced rent, $100 a month, and had them agree in the written contract specifically what work they would do during that 3 months. Their plan was to get the house in livable condition in the first 3 months. Working with friends from their church, they were able to clean out the house, repair it, move in, and get it financed at a bank with an appraisal of $189,000 within 6 months. They borrowed enough money to pay me in full and recover most of their expenses. The results: my purchase price, $90,000. My cost of repairs, $0. Time to market and close, 6 months. Actual holding costs, $3,000. I collected 3 months' rent. Total investment, $93,000. Selling price, $120,000. Profit before taxes, $27,000. Although I made less money, I significantly reduced my risk and time invested. If the buyers had not closed on their contract, I would have owned a much better house than I turned over to them. When you have a house that needs this much work, typically you go over budget on both time and money. When you can take an acceptable profit and let someone else take the responsibility for the work, you free up your time to look for the next good deal. You also eliminate or at least reduce your risk. Selling a house with a small down payment has risks. If the house needs a lot of work and your buyers do some or all of that work, the work they contribute is the equivalent of a bigger down payment. If a house needs no work, require a larger cash down payment. If the sale falls through, you need enough cash to make any needed repairs to the house and remarket it. Chapter 15: Selling on Lease Options to Generate Larger Profits. To make a great buy, you typically have to sign a contract to buy the house today and then close within a few days. The reason people sell houses for far less than what they are worth is because they have to. They don't have enough time to wait for a retail buyer. When you sell a house, if you sell to a buyer who cannot close right away, who needs some time to pay you, you can sell for a significantly higher price. I often make an additional $10,000 per house when I sell on a short-term lease option contract. In the case of the House of the Rising Water, I sold the house using a lease option contract. A lease option is a form of owner financing, but a simpler, safer, and less costly way to sell to a buyer who may not be able to qualify for a loan. Most buyers who want owner financing cannot qualify for a bank loan. There are always a substantial number of house buyers or would-be buyers who cannot qualify for a bank loan because of poor credit or low income. Some owner wannabes are eager to buy and are willing to pay a retail price and make regular payments if they are given the opportunity. Using a lease option, I sell many families their first home. They pay an option payment and then monthly lease payments for the term of the contract. If they want to buy the house, they must at some point qualify for a bank loan. Qualifying your buyers. Before I sell to them, I get financial information and identify why they cannot qualify today for a loan. I help them to form a plan so that they can qualify within a period of time, often 1 or 2 years. If they have too many expenses, often the solution is to pay off a credit card debt or a car loan and to avoid new debt. If they have poor credit because of overdue bills, I counsel them to form a plan to pay off those bills and then to begin making timely payments on their other credit accounts. Setting the option payment, the rent, and the price. The option payment, the monthly rental amount, and the price you'll sell the house for are directly related. You can charge a higher sales price if you will accept a lower option payment and rent. However, if no one ever buys because your price is too high, then you will never sell the house. Which of the three, option payment, rent, or price, has the greatest impact on your total profit? If you increase the option payment from $3,000 to $5,000, how does that affect your profit? If the optionee doesn't buy, you get to keep a larger option payment. But if the optionee does buy, you make the same amount of profit. Raising the monthly rent will produce more income, but you must balance the amount of rent you charge with how long it will take you to rent the house. If you try to get an extra $100 a month, and the house sits empty for a month, you probably have lost more than you can recover. Using a lower rent and renting faster often will make you more money. Of the three variables, the price is the one that will have the greatest impact on your profit. If you make someone a good deal on the rent and accept a relatively small option deposit, but set your price at the top of the retail range, you will collect several thousands of dollars more in profit when you close. Getting the best price when you sell. Table 15.1 presents an example of what you may be able to charge for a house in a typical market, one appreciating from 3 to 6%. Notice that both the price and rent are expressed in ranges. It is impossible to put an exact price or rent on a house. If you had four appraisers give you a price, you would get four different prices. You need to know your market well enough that you can establish these ranges. Establish a range for both price and rent that allows you to form a strategy for selling. Selling on lease options is an art, not a science. Every house will have a different market appeal. Some will need lots of work and others will be ready to move into. The desirability of the neighborhood will determine how many people will want the house and how much they are willing to pay. Table 15.1 shows the relationship between what price you ask, what rent you ask, and the amount of option money you are able to command. Notice which number has the greatest impact on your profit. It's the price. By charging a lower rent and deposit, you can charge a higher price. The amount of the deposit you charge will have an impact on the number of buyers who actually close. The lower the deposit you charge, the fewer the number of buyers who will be able to close on the purchase. Table 15.1, a bargain rent and option payment produce a higher price and greater profit. Today's retail house value, $240,000 to $260,000. Today's market rent, $1,500 to $1,750. Market condition, prices appreciating 3 to 6%. Price, $230,000. Option payment, $10,000. Rent, $1,800. Price, $240,000. Option payment, $7,500. Rent, $1,700. Price, $250,000. Option payment, $6,000. Rent, $1,600. Price, $260,000. Option payment, $5,000. Rent, $1,500. Price, $270,000. Option payment, $4,000. Rent, $1,400. A buyer with more money and better credit is likely to be a better negotiator and often will negotiate the sales price. If you can sell at a higher price and still collect a larger down payment, do it. It is probably a sign that the market is heating up and that prices will be moving up faster. The time it takes you to sell the house will be determined by how you price it. If you ask for a high price, high rent, and high deposit, it may take you months to sell. In an average market, you can sell a house on a lease option in a month or less if you price it at retail and charge a fair rent and deposit. If getting a higher price is more important to you than getting more rent or more money up front, then you should advertise the house with a lower down payment and rent to make it more attractive to more buyers. If getting your money sooner is more important to you, then selling at a lower price and getting a larger deposit will increase the chance of the buyers actually closing. The more they have invested up front, the harder they will work to close on the house. The option payment is part of the money you are asking for before you give a lease option buyer possession of the house. You also will collect the first month's rent in cash. The total amount you collect needs to be low enough to attract buyers. The condition of the house and the desirability of the house will determine how much you can charge. My student, Bob Bruss, advised to advertise the amount of money it takes to move you in. Lease option, $5,000 moves you in. Quaint, 322 on Quiet Street, $399,000. Call Bob at 222-222-2222. Bob invested in the San Francisco area and sold houses in high price ranges on lease options with relatively small down payments. Don't use lease options as a management tool. Some lease option sellers never actually sell a house. They sign a lease option to renters who could never qualify for a loan. These sellers are just collecting additional money in the form of option payments every time they rent the property. Use a lease option to sell a house that you want to sell. Don't use it as a technique to increase your cash flow from your long-term investments. There are risks to selling your investment houses on lease options. First, if the market takes off and prices jump 15 to 20% in 1 year, many of your buyers will buy. This will take you out of the market just when you want to own property. Suppose that you owned 10 houses and instead of renting them, you sold them all on lease options to increase your cash flow and reduce your maintenance costs. Later in Chapter 17, you will learn how to rent to tenants who will take care of your property. House prices jump 20% and 8 of 10 of your tenants buy their houses, leaving you with a large tax bill to pay, or the challenge of reinvesting your money and property in a market that's going up 20% a year. If the houses were worth an average of $200,000, you have given up 20% times $200,000, or about $40,000 per house profit. The lease option is the best way to sell a property at a retail price, but don't make the mistake of selling property that you want to keep. When you buy a house in a strong neighborhood with good long-term financing, don't sell it just because someone wants to buy it. Your best houses will make you the most money. Others constantly will try to buy them from you. Setting the term monthly credit, and extensions. When you sell a house, use a one-year lease option period. If house prices jump 10% during the year, you are giving less away when you use a short term. If the buyers are nervous, and they often are, that 1 year may not be enough time for them to solve the problem that keeps them from qualifying for a loan, then offer them a 1 year extension at a higher price. In an average market, use a 5% increase in both the price and the rent for the second year. If the market is increasing at a faster rate, ask for a larger increase. You can always give some of the increase back if you want to sell the house, and it does not appraise at the higher price when the buyers apply for a loan. Put in your lease option agreement a monthly credit amount toward the purchase that the buyers will receive when they pay on time. Use $100 a month. If you use a higher amount, the lender who the buyers borrow from may disallow it unless they are paying a credit on top of the fair market rent. While a larger credit may make the buyers more interested in buying the house, it will not help them to get a loan. If they accumulate a large credit and then cannot buy the house, they may feel entitled to part of it if they cannot buy. Being a good guy if they cannot buy. Reporters have asked me what percentage of my lease option buyers actually close. Overall, it's about 50%, but it depends on the credit market. When interest rates are low and loans are easier to come by, the percentage of buyers who can qualify for a loan and close goes way up, to 100% in some years. When interest rates rise and loans are hard to get unless you have perfect credit, then the percentage of buyers drops. When that happens, I often renegotiate the agreement so that the buyers can stay in the house and continue to try to buy it. I adjust the rent and price to keep up with the market. Eventually, if the buyers clean up their credit, they can buy the house. In the event that the buyers change their mind, get transferred, or get divorced, sick, or any of the real-world things that happen to people every day, then I offer some of their original deposit back if they have paid the rent and taken care of the property. In effect, I treat them like a good tenant and refund part of their original option money, treating it like a security deposit. This is a nice thing to do, and it is also good business. If you have to go through the eviction process to move out a tenant who was buying under a lease option, it will cost you both your time and money. It is better business to give the buyers some of their own money back as an incentive to move and give you back a house in good condition than to use the courts to force them out. If you get a house back in good condition, then you can resell it quickly to another lease option tenant. Getting your cash now when you sell on lease options. When you buy a house that you intend to sell on a lease option, you may need to recover part of the cash that you have tied up in the house before the buyers close on their lease option contract. A bank line of credit and a private line of credit are good ways to obtain the cash you need before you receive your profit. Suppose that you bought and sold this house. Market value today, $170,000 to $180,000. Your purchase price, $150,000. Your down payment, $30,000. Your loan, $120,000. You resell on a lease option. Sale price, $179,900. Option payment, $5,000. Balance due, $174,900. Your loan balance, $120,000. This will be adjusted at closing to include any monthly credits the buyers have earned. Your equity in the contract, $54,900. You now have about $55,000 of equity in the contract and about $25,000 cash tied up in the house. Your $30,000 down payment, less the $5,000 down payment. You can use this contract to borrow $25,000 on a short-term loan, either from a bank or from a private party. You can show the lender that she will be repaid from the proceeds at the closing. You could assign your contract as collateral for the loan if she insists, but often you can borrow unsecured. If the house does not close as planned, you will sell it again and pay off your loan when it does close. If you are getting the money from a private investor, you could sell her a half interest in your equity in the house, subject to the lease option sale, for $25,000. The investor would then own one half the house and would receive one half the rent as well as the proceeds. $54,900 divided by 2 equals $27,450 when the sale closes. If the first sale does not close, then you would resell the house at hopefully a higher price, and the investor would then participate in half that sale. A business plan for buying and selling. If you want to make buying and selling a full-time business, you need a plan to produce a certain amount of income. Here is a simple plan that you can use as a format to form your own plan. Plug in real numbers in your town to see how it would work for you. Annual income goal, $80,000. Price range of houses that will sell quickly, $140,000 to $150,000. Projected average profit per house, year one, $20,000. Number of houses needed to meet income goal, 4. Average down payment required to buy a house, $20,000. Average option payment received when selling, $5,000. Cash needed to buy first house, $20,000. Borrowing against the first contract could raise the down payment for the second house. With $80,000 in initial capital, you could acquire all four houses without borrowing. Compare this business with other small businesses that you could own and operate in your town. Most small businesses require far more than $80,000 in startup capital. They also require employees and have overhead such as rent, advertising, utilities, and so on. Many businesses have inventory that can spoil, like food, go out of style, like shoes, or be stolen. Your inventory is appreciating, won't go out of style, and it's hard to steal. The owner of a small business often works or is on call many hours, 7 days a week. In addition to his own work, such an owner must supervise the work of his employees. You alone, working part-time, can generate more net income than most small businesses in your town. Doing good work and getting paid for it. The business of buying and selling houses provides a service to your community. There are always sellers who need to sell quickly and buyers with credit problems who need help buying. By treating people fairly and by filling both these needs, you can make a good living and help people out of difficult situations. At the same time, you can hold on to the better properties for long-term investment, which will one day give you the ability to simply collect rent rather than continue to buy and sell. When you sell on a lease option, you can have the buyers pay your closing costs and you can sell the house in its as-is condition. How much does selling on lease option save you? Here is a comparison of a lease option sale and a sale through an agent. Market value of house, $150,000 to $160,000. Rent, $1,200. Offering price through realtor, $159,950. With lease option, $159,950. Sale price, $155,000 through realtor, $159,950 with lease option. Commission through realtor, $10,850. With lease option, $0. Closing costs through realtor, $1,200. With lease option, $0. Net proceeds through realtor, $142,950. With lease option, $159,950. Date you receive the money, through realtor, 90 to 180 days. With lease option, 1 year plus. Rent received during the year, $0 through realtor, $14,400 with lease option. The advantages of selling through a professional agent are that you are sometimes paid sooner, and you do not have to talk and show to potential buyers and then close the deal. Not all houses listed for sale sell during the first listing period. You might have to wait the best part of a year to be paid, even selling through a good agent. Every day you wait, you are supporting an empty house. This often puts so much pressure on a seller that they sell the house for far less than what it is worth. Agents will put pressure on you to reduce your price if the house does not sell quickly. No sale means no commission to them. A low price increases the chances of a sale. It's good for them, but costly to you. With a lease option, you collect rent while you wait for the house to close. If it takes a year, you collect the rent each month while you wait. This results in a higher net profit to you. Selling to a family member using a lease option. You may have a family member who is interested in investing but who is short of funds. You could sell that person a house that you want to sell using a lease option. You could make them a good deal on both the rent and the price to give that person a better than average chance of making a profit. You could even help the person manage the property and provide a little advice along the way. When selling to a family member, you could use a longer-term lease option to give the person more time to make a profit. You might plan for your relative to refinance and pay you off when the property increases 50% in value. If in your town that would take about 5 years, you could use that term and then renegotiate if the person needed more time. Should it not work out, then you would still own the house. It is better to sell to a family member using a lease option for a couple of reasons. 1. You don't have to report the sale on your tax return until the relative exercises the option to buy. If he doesn't buy, you still own it and have not had to report a sale. 2. You don't have to foreclose to recover title to the property. You would not want to foreclose on a family member. Selling to another investor using a lease option. If you have no one in your family who wants to invest, there are many young investors getting started today who would eagerly buy from you on a lease option. You could sell at a retail price without a commission. The investor then would manage the property and pay you when she resold it or refinanced it. Chapter 16. Finding and buying pre-foreclosures and foreclosures. Buying property from an owner in distress is exciting and can be very profitable. However, it is often complicated and requires specialized knowledge of the system and the law. If you are a beginning investor, read this chapter, but know that you need some experience before you have success buying foreclosures. When you find an opportunity, use a competent real estate attorney who can guide you through the process of buying your first foreclosure. Another investor may be able to refer you to a knowledgeable attorney. How and why foreclosures occur. It is easy to borrow money against a home you own. Sometimes it is too easy, and homeowners borrow more than they can afford to repay. When this happens and the borrower stops making payments, both the lender and the homeowner have a problem. Most lenders do not want to foreclose a loan and take title to a property. They are not property managers, they are lenders. Often, when they foreclose, they lose money on the loan. They cannot sell the property for enough to recover the loan balance and cost. When a borrower loses a house in foreclosure, the event has a long-lasting effect on the borrower's credit. When the borrower is able to borrow money again, it will be at a much higher interest rate. Banks will be reluctant to make another home loan to that borrower for many years. Even more distressing is loss of the family home and the need to move abruptly into less of a house in a weaker neighborhood. This is traumatic to a family and can cause other family problems. If you can offer a solution to this serious financial problem, you can save the homeowner a lot of grief and money and personally make a substantial profit for your skill and efforts. Foreclosures can result from misfortune. such as an accident, illness, or a job layoff. More often, they are a result of a homeowner borrowing money on terms he cannot afford. Regardless of the reason for the foreclosure, the key to buying a property from an owner facing foreclosure is how you deal with the owner and the problem. Beware of the foreclosure sharks. Some people who buy properties in foreclosure are not tactful or even ethical. Buyers who use high-pressure tactics to get sellers who are behind in their payments to sign a contract may be breaking the law. Buyers who steal property, leaving nothing on the table for the sellers, don't get many referrals or make many friends. Buying foreclosures and making friends while doing it. There is a different approach to buying properties in foreclosure. Much of my business comes from referrals. Previous sellers, borrowers, buyers, renters, and agents call me with repeat business and send me their friends. You can buy property from owners in distress and leave them with their honor intact and happy that they did business with you. The secret? Deal with others as you would like to be treated if you were in their situation and solve the problem. Not all foreclosures are opportunities. Some property in foreclosure, as with property in general, is not worth buying because of its bad location or poor condition. Some owners are just too difficult to help or to make a deal with. Do not stray from your investment plan just to buy a property in foreclosure. Only look at houses in price ranges and in neighborhoods that you understand and that you know are profitable. Often, properties are in foreclosure because of a bad location, bad design, or bad concept. These problems may be expensive or even impossible to fix. If you buy these properties, even at a bargain price, you may become the next owner in distress. Frequently, you will see the same house foreclosed on several times. There is a problem with that house, not just the owners. 5 sources of delinquent homeowners who need you. 1. Homeowners who are in trouble and still trying to borrow more money. When a homeowner falls behind on her first mortgage, she often will try to borrow more against the house from a second mortgage lender to catch up on the payments on the first. These second mortgages are recorded in the public records and can be a source of leads. Some lenders are much more aggressive than others and will make higher risk loans. While most lenders want a certain level of credit and income, some lenders will loan to nearly anyone with income, even if that person is behind on his first loan and jobless. Learn who the most aggressive lenders are in your area and recognize that only the most desperate borrowers will borrow from them. Their interest rates and upfront fees will be high, and so will their default rate. If these borrowers were in financial trouble before, borrowing more money at a high interest rate will only compound their trouble. When you identify these borrowers, you are identifying people who may need to sell their house soon and in a hurry. You can identify these borrowers by searching the public records for loans recorded by these high-risk lenders and then contacting the borrowers. Simply tell them that you are looking for a house in their neighborhood and ask them if they know anyone who wants to sell. This low-key approach opens the door to asking more questions if they admit that they want to sell. Another direct approach is to meet with the people making these loans. They are paid on commission when they make a loan. You can offer them a finder's fee to refer homeowners to you who need to sell, not borrow more. Even the most aggressive lenders turn down some homeowners because they have too much debt already. These homeowners may have little equity, but the lenders they owe may be willing to renegotiate the terms of their loans, allowing you to buy for a profit. 2. A second source of owners in trouble is advertising, bandit signs, and mailing postcards. Cash for your house. Fast closing. Save your equity. Call John anytime at 222-222-2222. Another approach that gets calls is, private investor has cash for notes and mortgages. Call John anytime at 222-222-2222. Ads and signs will get calls from people looking to sell or needing a loan. Both will generate leads. Your challenge will be screening them and following up on the good leads. Use a phone number that you can answer often. Many of these people will not leave a callback number. If your regional newspaper is too expensive to run an ad for a month, try one of your small papers or Shoppers. Mailing postcards can be effective, but targeting your mail to those who might be in trouble means compiling or buying a qualified list. It will take repeated mailings to the same owners to get a response. I have seen stacks of letters and postcards from foreclosure buyers in houses that I have purchased. It's a competitive and expensive way to find opportunity. 3. A third source is other house buyers who will be your bird dog. If your town is like mine, you have bandit signs or ads that say, "I will buy your house for cash." If you own houses, you may be getting letters from these same people. The buyers with these signs have limited cash. I have found that every buyer seems to have a favorite type of house and a favorite neighborhood. The secret is to find another buyer who is short on cash or has an interest different from yours and offer to pay him for leads on the houses that you like. These bird dogs will find you opportunities for a small fee, typically a few thousand dollars. 4. A fourth source is referrals from bankers and other lenders whom you may know. Local lenders often refer troubled homeowners to other lenders. When such homeowners are in too much trouble to borrow more, they refer them to buyers. Understand that lenders will not call you and tell you about their customer. They will call their customers and tell them about you. To get these referrals, the lender must first know that you buy houses and then trust that you will treat people fairly. Lenders do not want negative repercussions from referring business to you. 5. A fifth source is property in good neighborhoods that is being neglected. I frequently drive and walk through neighborhoods I like, looking for empty or physically distressed property. While not every property that needs work is an opportunity, it is a free phone call to the owners to find out if they want to sell. Even if you only buy 1 in 100, and it takes you 3 months to find one that you can buy, this is highly profitable work. There are more sources, but this is enough to get you started. The key is you. You need to do research, make contacts, run ads, and canvas neighborhoods to generate the leads that you need. There are always opportunities. Talking with owners in foreclosure. Many owners in foreclosure are not willing to answer questions or even admit that they have a problem. Try to help them, but don't spend too much time with them unless they admit to needing help and are willing to accept it. Explain the consequences of a foreclosure. 1. Poor credit will cause them to pay higher interest rates. 2. They may have to move into a much less desirable house. 3. They may not have enough money to move into any house. 4. They will lose their equity. 5. A new job or promotion may require a credit check. An applicant who is under severe financial stress may not be a desirable employee. 6. A foreclosure can be a long-term family disaster. Testing the owner's motivation. Most sellers want you to come look at their house. As a test of their motivation and willingness to cooperate, ask a homeowner in distress to come to you. Ask her to bring all her paperwork on the house. Specifically, ask for loan documents, title insurance, closing documents from the purchase, and any refinancing and all correspondence from the lender or lenders. These documents will give you the information you need to assess the situation and consider if you are part of a solution. A solution would be to make the owner an offer if you can make a profit in a transaction that solves her problem. Giving sound advice to delinquent borrowers. Borrowing more money is not a solution when you cannot make your current payments. Unless you can roll the back payments into a new loan with a lower payment, you are just getting deeper into trouble. Refinancing loans in default is expensive and often has high closing costs and high interest rates. It may buy a little time, but often at a high cost. If the house has enough equity to refinance, it has enough equity to sell. Selling may net the owner some cash, avoid a foreclosure, and give the owner some options they would not have if they were foreclosed. Never lend money to anyone behind on his payments. First, it is not good for them. If they cannot make their payments now, how could they make new, higher payments? Second, there are complex laws in many states that protect homeowners who are in default from unscrupulous lenders. You may violate one of those laws even when you are trying to help.